Father God, thank you so much that you love us, that you care for us, and that you are with us. Help us to hear you, to see you, to love you, to want more of you, to actually chase after you. Thank you that you are the God who pursues us and never ever stops loving us. Thank you that you're the God of fresh starts and new beginnings. Thank you that you are our God who loves us. Please speak to me and through me to us by your Spirit today. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, could you turn with me to Luke chapter 2? We're going to be reading from verse 21 onwards. We're actually going to be, for the next few weeks, carrying on with the story of Luke. Now, Luke has told us the story of Christmas, but that is not the end of the story. That is just the start, and it all flows on from there. So, 8 days after Jesus was born, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. And then it was time for their purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Luke is kind of putting together two different ceremonies there, ceremony of purification and the ceremony of circumcision, naming. Thing is, they're taking him to the temple to present him to the Lord. And the law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. And so they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, just as an aside, and this isn't the main topic of the sermon today, that is the offering if you can't afford the proper offering, which tells you something about the family that God was born into. They were not wealthy. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and he was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. Your translation might say, he was eagerly waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came in to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there, and he took the child in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you've promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He's a light to reveal God to the Gentiles, to the nations. He is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, your very soul. Now Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only about 7 years, and then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. Now, the translators have big fights in the way that only academics can about whether she lived to the age of 84 or whether she lived another 84 years. Either she was 84 years old or she was 104-ish. Either way, young. She was not a young woman. She was a woman with many years, and a woman of great wisdom. So she'd been married 7 years. She'd been a widow for a very long time. She never left the temple, but she stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. And she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. And when Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. And there the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. It's an interesting passage, isn't it? I wanted to start the sermon this morning with a few months ago, and then I decided to check my facts, and it turns out the story I'm about to tell happened in January 2023. So it's been a whole year. So about the end of January 2023, we went to look at the Mandurah Giants. Have you all had a chance to look at the Mandurah Giants yet? It's worth having a look at. We went down to the one at Hall's Head that looks out over the ocean. Towards evening time, just before sort of 5:30, 6:30 time. And I wanted to get a nice photo of this giant sitting on the cliff face looking out over the ocean. But if you want to get a good photo, and I'm not a brilliant photographer, I just dabble, you have to wait for the right moment. First of all, I waited for everyone to get lost because they were in my photo. And then they disappeared. And then I had to wait for the sun to come down to exactly the right point. And I got some, for me, quite nice photos of this giant looking out over the waters with the sun setting into the ocean behind it. It was quite nice, but I had to wait. This morning, we're meeting two people who learn to wait for something far more important than a nicely framed photo. Theirs is a story of hope vindicated. They lived in a dark time for their nation and for the world. Israel was ruled by Rome. It was led by the half-Jewish puppet king, King Herod the Great. I think I've told you the story of Herod. He was such a nice bloke, so beloved, that he instructed that when he died, they should kill 70 of the leading men of Israel so that at least people would be sad upon the occasion of his death. That tells you a great deal of information on how wonderful it would have been to live under his rule. He's also the bloke, incidentally, who goes and kills all the kids two and under in Bethlehem. Not a nice guy. This was meant to be the people of God. Living with God, representing God, a holy nation, a nation of priests. God had come to Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and had said, "I will bless the whole world through you." And here they were under the thumb of other powers. God had come to King David and said, "David, one of your descendants will rule on the throne forever." And here they were with a pretender on the throne. Certainly not related to David. But there were still people in the land who held out hope. People who were waiting for God. Waiting for God to keep his promises, to rise up, to raise up the Messiah and King. They were waiting for things to be as they should be. Now Simeon and Anna, I think both of them are well advanced into years, well into retirement, we might say. We're not told that explicitly about Simeon, but Anna, we're explicitly told she is eligible for the pension. Let's just put it that way. But both Simeon and Anna had lived their lives in anticipation of God's promises to save and to restore. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The New Living Translation expands on that, explains it a little bit. He's basically saying, "I'm waiting for God to console us. I'm waiting for God to comfort us. I'm waiting for God to make everything right by raising up the Anointed One, the Messiah, because when the Messiah comes, everything will be as it should be." We don't know much about Simeon at all. He was an ordinary bloke, as I say, probably getting on in years. We don't meet him again. that these verses that we read is the sum total of his placement in the Bible. What we do know about Simeon is that he was righteous and devout. He was someone whose life and actions reflected those of God. Someone who made God the most important person in his life. This is a wise, older man who lived to please God. He's one of those people that you meet and you go, that's what a follower of Jesus looks like. That's what a Christian looks like. That's what a man of God looks like. I've never met the bloke, but I can imagine that he would have been loving, gentle, kind, patient, self-controlled, slow to anger, gentle. Faithful. Luke says to us that he was filled with the Spirit. He had a deep, close, personal relationship with God. He lived his life conscious of the fact that God was with him always. And somehow God had spoken to him and said to him, Simeon, you will not die until you see the chosen one, the anointed one, the rescuer, the Messiah. I wonder when God had told Simeon that. Was it a day before everything that just happened? Was it a week, a month, a year? Was it 10 years ago? I don't know. But however long it was, he had to wait. God didn't give him a date. He just said, you're going to see it before you die. Simeon was one of those people who had learned to listen to God. Most of us are not really good at doing that. We're much better at talking. You know, when we say, I need to pray more, and most of us will say, I need to pray more. What we're actually meaning is, I need to talk to God more. But Simeon had taken it a step further and realized conversation is two-sided. He wasn't just one to talk to God, he was one who was able to listen, and he heard God prompting him this day, go to the temple. And so he went to the temple. And then as Mary and Joseph walked in holding this little baby, can you not imagine his heart doing somersaults within him? At that moment, this inner voice going, there he is, Simeon, there he is, whoa, Simeon. Can you imagine this old man, wrinkled face, hair falling out, with a smile on his face, so large that he looks like the cat has just got the milk. And he goes over to Mary and Joseph. And he takes Jesus in his arms. And I don't know, but can you perhaps picture this strong older man with tears streaming down his face? Tears of joy. Maybe he wasn't crying. Maybe he was just overwhelmed. However it was, you could just look at this man and go, this is massive. You know, it's so lovely to see someone who has been waiting for a long time receive that which they have waited for. Here is a man who has waited for years and years for God to save his people. He's been waiting for we don't know how long to see the Messiah. And there he is, and he's holding him in his arms. God has acted. And Simeon says, now, God, now I can die in peace. Doesn't get better than this. I don't have anything more wonderful, more precious to experience in this life. Feel free to take me anytime now, God, because I have seen your salvation. I have seen the light for the Gentiles. I have seen the glory of God's people. Glory for God's people because through them the Savior has come. Light for the world because God's salvation is for all of us. Simeon is absolutely content. He had waited and waited and waited. There were people who would have said, Simeon, you're wasting your time. But he said, no, God is going to keep his word. And then he saw salvation. There would have been people who looked at him and said, Mike, do you realize you're holding a baby? But Simeon knew that there was more than just a baby. That this was the one who would save us all. It's a real hallmark moment. It's beautiful, hopeful, waiting, fulfilled, words of rescue by God. And then Simeon blesses Mary and Joseph, and then he turns to Mary, and you can see his face, and you can hear his voice as the tone changes. He speaks of this child as one who is destined to cause many to fall and many to rise. That he is a sign from God, that many will oppose him. Here is salvation for all, but salvation that will not be accepted by all. Many will reject him, will oppose him, will ultimately find themselves falling, stumbling over him, dying in sin and rebellion, saying, I don't believe you are who you say you are. You see, that's what Jesus always does. There is a divide. Either you are for Jesus or you are not for Jesus. Either you stumble over him or you rise with him. When you switch on the lights, the shadows spring into hard relief. Our inner thoughts, our brokenness is brought out. Jesus reveals the deepest thoughts of many. And that can be scary. We don't like people thinking that we're failures. I have heard in the past people say that they couldn't become members of a church because they weren't good enough. That thought of, I will be shown up as a failure. That's what Jesus does. He shows us up as failures. But those who hope in him, rise with him. Those who love him are with him. Those who turn to him are defined by him. Many will not turn to him. Many will say, I can't risk that. But those who do find life. But he will be opposed. And Luke's going to tell us the story of that. And Mary will have her own soul pierced with a broadsword. And she watches Jesus tortured and killed. Of course, that's not the end of the story. Because he is God, and he is bigger than death, and he is stronger than death. But Luke is giving us a taste and saying, this is serious stuff. Have you ever been in that situation where you walk past someone and you catch a glimpse of their conversation? I don't know what the hearing version of that is. You hear a glimpse. If you hear a glimpse of their conversation and you listen and you go, what? And you turn back and you say, is that true? Is that so? That's amazing. That's incredible. Because that's exactly what happened in the temple that day. Simeon is talking to Mary and Joseph about Jesus, and Anna walks past. Now, let's be honest, she's old, so she's probably not walking past at great speed. So she's got plenty of time to listen. And as she goes past, she hears what they're talking about, and you can see her wizened old face lighting up for joy. She looks like she's 21 again with excitement. She's just, wow! And she's dancing, maybe I'm imagining that bit. But she's praising God, and she's celebrating God, and she's going around to everyone and saying, look at that child, look at that child, look, there he is, there's the Messiah, there's the Savior, there's salvation. She is one of those people who knows everyone who's waiting expectantly for God to come and rescue and save. She is a woman who has dedicated her life to God. She spends all of her time in the temple, worshiping God, fasting to focus on God, praying to God, talking with God. She loved God. She lived her life in tune with God. He was the focus of everything for her. And when she hears that God has come, that God is rescued, she just bursts into joy. This was a big moment for these two people who were waiting. Because what they had waited for was coming true. They both had lived their lives focused on God, longing for Him to act. Sort out my shoelace before I fall to the ground. This is all that we hear about them. This is the sum total of their story. Now Luke is being very careful in gathering a biography about Jesus for us. And the question that I have to ask is, why did he include their story? Simeon has some stuff to say about Jesus, but it comes out in the rest of the gospel. So why do we hear a story about a couple of old people past their prime, hanging out in the temple? Why do we hear about them? What if it tells us something about grace and something about waiting? And something about how true God is to His promises. Grace, it was nice of God to say to Simeon, you are going to see the Messiah before you die. Wasn't it gracious of God to honor Anna and her devotion to Him? By giving her the joy of seeing what she had so longed for. These two waited expectantly for God to act for their whole lives. They devoted themselves to God. They were righteous and devout. Their lives were all about being with God, and then God came to be with them. and with us. They waited, and then they were vindicated. They were right to wait for God. They saw Him come in keeping with His word. Today, as Diane said to us, is the last day of 2023. Tomorrow, the year starts afresh. And I wonder whether the story for me and for you at the start of a new year, at the start of a new age, as Luke describes it, or as Luke explains to us here, I wonder what if we took a leaf out of Simeon and Anna's books? What if we dedicated ourselves to waiting? See, Jesus came, He died, He rose, and He ascended to heaven, and He said, I'm coming back. I will return, and I will live with you forever. I will make you new. I will end all evil and suffering in this world. What if we, like Anna and like Simeon, said, this year I am going to wait for Jesus? Now that is not a casual, she'll be right, mate, kind of waiting. Anna's waiting included worshipping and fasting and praying to God. It included spending time with God, making God the focus of her life. Simeon's waiting was, well, he was a righteous and devout man. He devoted himself to pleasing God. What if this year we said, Jesus, you've promised to return. I'm waiting for you to return, and I long to see that, and I want to be ready for that. What if we say, Jesus, I want to speak with you. Not just speak at you, but speak with you. What if we say, Jesus, I want to focus on you. And if that means not focusing on this or that or the next thing, fine, I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to spend my time focusing on you. What if we say, Jesus, this year I want to live a life of worship and be proactive about worshiping Him. If you want to spend every day and night at the church like Anna, well, they've got basketball here on a few nights, so it will be noisy. But it's about being close to God, isn't it? What if we said, God, I'm gonna dedicate myself to pursuing closeness to you? It is beautiful to see something long longed for received. What if that was our ambition for 2024? Not necessarily a New Year's resolution, but a new decision to say, Jesus, I want to want you more in 2024. Maybe that's the slogan for the year. More and more in 2024. So what are we going to do? We've got 2 minutes to discuss this very quickly. There's a question up on the overhead when I find my phone. This question says, what can you do to help you focus on and keep hoping for Jesus' return? How can you, like Anna, encourage others in this? Remember, Anna went around to everyone going, look. What can you do to be like that? So groups of 3, 4, 5, if you really struggle with math, 6, and we'll just discuss this for 2 minutes. If you are here and you don't want to discuss it, get into a group that looks clever and go, man, you guys look clever, I just want to listen today.